Okay, children, come and join me. Come on, have a seat right here. All right? Y'all just gather around, get you a seat. I got a question for you today. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? He's your neighbor? She's your neighbor? He's your neighbor? Who? Oh, we're all neighbors.
What? We can't live.
How's that work? We're sitting next to each other. That's right. What'd you say, Jimmy?
I thought you meant the other kind of neighbor.
What kind is that?
The other one that lives next door to you.
Oh, well, I was talking about that one too. Who's your neighbor? Well, did you know that that's a question from the Bible? There was a guy, a real smart guy. He was a lawyer. He was well-connected. He had money. And he came to Jesus one time trying to trick Jesus. And he asked what he thought would be a trick question to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, well, Jesus, who's my neighbor? And he's trying to trick Jesus to get Jesus to make a mistake. And so Jesus, as he often did, told a story. Y'all want to hear the story?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the story. This man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, he's actually going a little bit north, but says he's going down because he's going in elevation down. While on the way down, some thieves and robbers attacked him. They stripped him of everything that he had, stole his money, beat him, and left him for dead on the side of the road. The next person that came along the road was a priest. He had been in Jerusalem doing his annual responsibility. He'd stay there for a couple of weeks, and so he comes by. What do you think the priest did when he walked by? Huh? He walks by and he sees that man. Anybody know what the priest did? What did he do? He looks at him, and the scripture says not only did he go by, but he passed by on the other side. Scripture says another guy comes by. He's a Levite. He's supposed to be one of the guys that's spiritual and all that. It says he saw him, and what do you think he did?
He walked away.
Yeah, he passed by on the other side. Then a third guy comes by. And this guy was a Samaritan. Now all three of these guys that had come by before, or the two that had come by before, including the guy that was hurt, they were all Jews. But the third guy that came by was a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They hated each other. But this Samaritan, the scripture says, he was on a journey. When he comes by, says he saw him and he was moved with compassion, with love for him. So he came and he took him up in his arms and bandaged up his wounds. He poured oil and on his wounds, you know, like medicine, gave him something to drink, and he put him on his donkey, and he brought him to a hotel. And he gave him to the innkeeper there and said, look, here's some money. You take care of this guy, and you make sure that he heals up and gets well. And if it costs you any more, when I come back through, I'll pay his bill. Now, Jesus told that story, and he looked at this lawyer, this smart aleck lawyer, and he says, Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? What would y'all say? Who? The Samaritan. That's why we call the story. Do you, any of y'all know what we call this story? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. In fact, we use that phrase in our society talking about someone who does acts like this. The lawyer that day, he had to say, the one who was the neighbor, true neighbor, was the one who stopped and showed mercy. And then Jesus says to the lawyer, you go and do the same thing. You see, Jews and Samaritans were supposed to hate one another according to what society said. We can think of a lot of people in our society that people say, oh, you need to hate those people. But God says we're supposed to love people. And He's saying to y'all and us, go and do likewise. The neighbor is the person who is right next to you at the time. Howdy, neighbor. Howdy, neighbor. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for these children. We pray your blessing on them. Open their minds and hearts to you, Lord. Lord, I pray we as big people can be good examples to them and not bad. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence with us right now. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, kids, y'all can go to Kid Zone now. I promised you that we would have a gift today. And we do. Give me just a moment. Duct tape. You can use it for anything. No, I got it, Daniel. Oh, I do, Daniel. Come stand on this right here. Stand right there. Stand on that duct tape. There you go. Hold it now. No, we're gonna stop it right here. Okay, you can sit down. We have a guest today. I thought about asking this guest a lot of questions. I was interested in what this person has to say. But in the end, I decided that one question would be sufficient. Now, before I tell you the question that I'm going to ask this guest, let me tell you his name. His name is Everyman. And in fact, today, this guest is going to assume 21 different personalities. Now, he's not schizoid or a multiple or anything like that. He's many different people. All of these people are people that are separated from Christ. There's a strong dividing line. And when you hear what our guest has to say today, when he answers the question that I posed to him, I want you to remember that he is divided today only by the fact that he does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is separated from Jesus. In fact, on each of the things that probably he's going to talk about today, I want to remind you that before he comes out here, that that's going to be the one commonality in all he has to say. Now, here's a question that I'm going to ask him. In fact, I'm going to provide it in written form to him so every man can answer. Here's the question. Why not accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Yes, as Dusty told you, I'm every man. I thought I was going to answer a lot of questions today, but he gave me only one question to answer. Why don't I accept Jesus as my Savior and become a Christian? Religion's too complicated. All those rules and regulations. All that stuff makes my head hurt. I've tried to wrap my mind around it, but it's complicated. Why would God make something so complicated? I just can't imagine that God would provide something free to me. Just seems like you ought to have to earn it. Work for it. Surely you have to do something for it. There's no way in the world I could ever deserve God. If He knows everything that I've done, I'm way too bad. If He knows the deep things that are in my heart, He could never want me. How could He want me? Ah, this forgiveness stuff. Ah, I hear them talking about grace and forgiveness and forgiveness. How could you forgive somebody? I mean, after the things they do to you, if God only knew what the things that have been done to me and I just can't wrap my mind around that. I tried that religion stuff. It's hokey. I tried going to church. Nah. It's just not for me. The people, the stuff, I don't understand it. They say words I don't understand. Some of the biggest disappointments I've had in life have been at the hands of Christians. Thought they were supposed to love God and do the right thing. Boy, these people didn't. There's no way I could ever measure up. Man, I started adding up all the good things that I did this week and then the bad stuff. And man, if you have to include the stuff you think about, whew, man, I can never measure up to that. How is it God could let me into heaven? I couldn't do enough good stuff. I hung out with some Christians for a while. Every time I wanted to do something fun, they were like Johnny Raincloud, there to spoil it. Most of their sentences began with, "Don't." Aren't we supposed to live? Isn't there fun in life? Sure are a lot of hypocrites that call themselves Christians. Boy, if that preacher down there knew what I know. Boy, how could they walk in that church building and not think the ceiling's going to fall in on them with the way they act during the week? Man, they need to come out to my job for a while and hear what these guys have to say, how they act. You know, I think about God from time to time. But he's so far away. Seems like every time I reach out for him, he moves. God just seems like a far away concept to me. What's God ever done for me? Man, I'm out here trying to make a living every day. Seems like all he's up to is making it harder. I can't tell you a thing he's done for me. You know, there sure are a lot of these religions to choose from. I mean, I talked to this guy, my neighbor over here, and he says, choose this one. And then I look at this guy on TV, and he's all red-faced, and jugglers popping out, and he must really believe what he's talking about. And this guy over here, man, I don't want those snakes to get out of the box. You know, some days I think it'd be easier just to say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and choose one that way. You know, I had a need in my life. Death in my family. I tried to talk to God, but Man, he just never seems to say anything back to me. Yeah, they talk about that Bible. But you know what? I opened that thing up and, man, people hadn't talked like that in 400 years. It's way too complicated. Man, the words in there, and where do you start? It's a long book. No pictures either. You know, my life's pretty good without God. I've never really needed Him. Things are going pretty well compared me to other people. Man, especially that Holy Joe lives across the street, man. I drive a better car than he does. Probably got more money in the bank. And man, he's got an ugly wife. All of us are good people. They seem like at church they try to tell you how bad you are. And hey, we're just all good people trying to make a living best way we can. I'm good, aren't I? Guy talks about wanting me to become a Christian. I was born in the U.S. That makes me a Christian, right? We're a Christian nation. We've even got it on our money. You know, I've been following this other religion for a long time. Found this guy on the internet. Boy, he speaks my language. I feel like I'm spiritual now. Why should I have anything to do with Jesus? Jesus has had 2,000 years to get it right. Looks like he's still screwing it up. Hey man, don't talk to me about becoming a Christian. My parents had me baptized as soon as I was born. Man, what else do I need? Hey, the church will always be there when I need the church. I just hadn't needed the church in a long time. The people in church, they are so very not cool. Have you seen some of the clothes they wear? And the way they talk. They're just not cool. I just don't know if I could hang around people that weren't cool. Thank you, every man. Every man just gave us 21 little vignettes. Could you feel the thump in each one of those? Did you picture people in your mind and heart? Family members. And it may be you. I want to read a passage of scripture to you and make a few comments. Therefore, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can look at it later. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, and what ministry is he referring to? The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of making sure that this dividing line, people cross it and come to Christ. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart because we stand on this side of the grace of God, not on the other side. We have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. What did all 21 of those reasons have in common? Every one of them kept a person separated from God for various reasons. He goes on. Even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as the bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it's God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. He is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. What's he saying here? He's saying here, that the reason a division exists, the reason that there's darkness for every man, with all the excuses, with all the reasons, with all the separation, that was just 21. Could have given you today 121. You thought of more that reasons, people in your life that are separated from the Lord. Here's the truth. There's something else that is happening in their lives. There's a battle that is going on. The nature of life is that everything is spiritual. There's not a decision you make every day that's not spiritual. Every decision you make is a spiritual decision. When we're rubbing shoulders with people, something spiritual is happening because God is present. His love is present. His compassion is present. His forgiveness is present. His revelation is present. because he is present. Who has he decided to use to reach and talk to every man? What's his game plan in the earth? Is he some master puppeteer who just pulls the strings on every man and says, oh, I'll capriciously today decide that Dusty will get revelation and Rick will not? Who's he decided to use? Who are his connectors? What is his game plan? As we begin 2015, the Lord has put this on my heart very, very strongly. We are his game plan. We are the instruments of his grace in the earth. We are the means by which he is carrying his gospel, his good news, into the earth. As we go, we're confronting the same things that Jesus confronted. What happened right after Jesus' baptism? What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says that he was driven out into the wilderness by Satan? No. No, that's incorrect. Who was he driven by? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drove him out into the wilderness to be tested. You see, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He walked every way. He had every temptation we had. And so, therefore, at the beginning of his ministry, of his mission on the earth, and see, you've got to decide if you're on mission or not. If you belong to Christ, you're on mission. If you're not on mission, you don't belong to Christ. It's as simple as that, because that's who he is. That's who having a relationship with him. And see, it's all about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. There he is tested in three ways. You remember? Satan brings him the stones. He says, turn these stones into bread. How's he being tested there? With his flesh. With his fleshly appetites. He takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple. Puts him there. He says, throw yourself down. Because the Scripture says, and Satan can quote Scripture, he says that he's given the angels charge concerning thee. There he's testing him about the world system. Oh, show off to everyone. And then the third, takes him up on the pinnacle of the mountain and he says, here, look around you. All this I will give to you if you'll bow the knee to me. Each time Jesus answered with Scripture, he refused, even though he was being tested by the world system, the flesh, and the devil. He said, I have a mission. And this mission is for every man. It's for every man. And whatever excuse that he brings, and I can go down these individually and give you reason. That's for another day. That's for another day. Here's the point. Here's what happens when we decide that we're going to be on mission. We remove that separation we go to him and to her where they are with the good news of Jesus. Whatever their excuse is, whatever their reason is, whatever it is, we go with ourselves because we have the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ in us, and he's going to lead us in what to say, in what to do, and most of all, in what to show to that person. Do you realize there was a commonality in a lot of the things that every man had to say to us about the stuff that the Christians weren't living out what they say they believed? Our lives are preaching a message to our neighbors, to our children, to our friends, where we shop. You see, it's not about religion. Religion is something that is man-made. It's about every man having a personal relationship with the living Lord Jesus. And what happens to all of every man's oppositions to the good news of Jesus when we, by the power of God, cross into his world? Into his world. That is this world in which we live. You know, if God wanted us to stay clustered over here and in our own little us four and no more and, you know, praise God and all that stuff and you know, let's wait on him to snatch us up out of here. If he'd have wanted to do that, why didn't he just, as soon as you receive Jesus, boom, just take you out right then. Take you on to heaven. No, he left us here. Aren't you thankful? Look back. You were every man. You were every woman. Someone was faithful to you. Someone was there. They were the reflection of the image of Jesus. You got to see it in your language. You got to see it in what communicated to you. The stuff that communicates to me, hey, you may need someone else to be the reflector to you, to put it in your language, language that you understand. That's why God has called all of us. Remove the dividing line and live out the gospel in the presence of these people. Use the words. Use your relationships. And I'm not talking about some slick way to manipulate people. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being prepared for those conversations and realizing that I'm not just waiting for a spiritual thing to happen. I'm walking and living in a world that is already spiritually charged right now. The question is, am I going to engage and see what is around me? One of the greatest pictures of that is at the end of the Matrix movie. Probably only half of you have seen this movie, but Keanu Reeves, suddenly, his eyes are opened and he can see what is going on around him. You know, God did that in a guy's life in the Bible. His name happened to be Paul. Very well-educated man. Tip-top in his class. Brilliant. Well-connected. Had money. Was connected with the right people. And even though he was a Jew, he was also a Roman citizen. And look what happened to him. He was every man. He had a bunch of things that he would say against Jesus. But that day on the Damascus Road, Jesus came to him personally and revealed himself. And Paul was never the same man again. His life changed. Some of you are guests today and you've never heard this before. And some of you have known me a long time. And you know this part of my story. I will never forget the change that came in my father, my earthly father, when Jesus came into his life. Our house, our home, our relationships, everything we did changed. My daddy was every man. But thanks be to God, people prayed for him. And people were willing. I heard him one night threaten a guy that came to our door to talk to him about Jesus. As only my dad could do, to get it in a language that guy could understand that he was not welcome at our house. And God has a sense of humor. It wasn't too many months after that that fellow became one of my dad's best friends. Every man. There are no hopeless cases. There's nobody too far. There's nobody with a big enough stack of reasons that I can't come to Jesus. Because you see, Jesus wipes all of those away. He has bridged the gap. And he is personal. That means for us today, he uses us as a bridge into people's lives. Does he have to do that? No. He doesn't have to do it. He has chosen to do that. So we get to be a part of the joy and the process, because he's getting us ready to reign with him forever with our family. You look around you. Those of you that have received Christ, you're looking at people that you're going to spend forever with. You're not just enjoying hanging out now and coming around on Sunday mornings and that kind of stuff. Have a cup of coffee together. Open the Word of God. Hey, it's going to be forever. Forever. That's the gift that we give. I want to ask you, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Who of the every man and every woman in your life today is not worth you ripping up that division and aggressively going after? Not being weird. Listen, don't hear me today. Oh, you know, pastor said you need to tripwire, you know, stick Bibles in their coat and all that. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about aggressively listening to the Lord, aggressively loving, aggressively looking for the opportunity when the door opens. To show them. To share the gospel with them. Who's worth it? Who's worth it? Aren't you glad you were worth it? That the Son of God died in your place on a cross. He rose again. He ascended back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. Now he's receiving all coming faith and trust to him. One day he's coming again real soon, and we're going to spend forever. He's going to set up his kingdom on this earth, and he's going to show us how it's supposed to be done, and we're going to reign with him forever. All who have come out of the everyman camp and seen the light. What about it? You got it? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus has come into your life? And how about the people that you say that you love? I'm not going to shake hands today. I'm going to pray for you and send you out. I'm going to hang around down here. I'm going to ask Brother Rick, Brother Dane, if they would to hang out with me. If you'd like to come and talk and pray, we'll be here. We'll be available to you today. We'll wait for you. Okay? Do you understand what I have shared with you today? Does it make sense? What are you going to do about it? This today is a call to action. This is not good information to store away. I'm through with preaching for the buzz. I'm on the delivering messages plan today, just to let you know. I love you. I hope you know that. I'd lay down my life for you. And I know there are many in this room that do the same for me. What's it going to look like in 6 months if we take this seriously today? I'll be sending you an email. Won't be today, probably tomorrow sometime. Be looking for it, okay? It'll have some important things in it for you. Let's pray together. Before I pray, we'll let you know we'd like to get those cards from you today. If you have an offering to bring, the baskets are up here, one in the back. We'd sure like to get those from you. But now, are you ready to listen to the Lord together? Let's pray. Lord, you have called us out as your body. You've shown us, Lord, your love. We've received much from you. All that we are and have. I ask you right now, Lord, as we ponder the things you've spoken to us, Lord, that there would be such power today that'll be evident in our lives as we engage with you, Lord, as partners in this world to carry out the mission of sharing this good news to a lost, dying, and separated world. Lord, rip up that line of division. Lord, as we go and share the good news of Jesus, Lord, so that people will not be separated for all eternity from you. Lord, show us the people. Show us the ones who need you today, right now, the ones in our lives. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come. Come invade our prayer lives. Come, Lord, show us how we're supposed to pray as we cooperate with you in prayer, as we intercede for people in our lives that we love, that we do want to spend forever with. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless your name. And it is in the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in grace.